Hallelujah. I'm doing this by faith tonight. Amen. My voice, I'm just going to continue to plow forward and crack in there singing and doing other things. So thank God for the praise and worship team. Help me out. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And I think it's good to talk about the salt of the earth. Amen. How many are the salt of the earth tonight? Jesus told us that we were going to be the salt of the earth. And I kind of geeked out and read some things about salt. And it was like, I got on Wikipedia and stuff. And there's all this stuff about salt. And I was like, whoa, overload there, you know, about salt. All I know is it just tastes real good when you put it on stuff, right? Yeah, I like salty stuff. How many are sweet, got a sweet tooth, prefer sweet over salt? How many like salty stuff? I like really hot, spicy, together, yeah. Or that, what's that, habanero chocolate or whatever that is too? That's like illegal, right? It's like your mouth is just, boop, doesn't know, freaks out because doesn't know what to do, right? So, amen. I'm going to stop talking about food, so I'm going to move on. But we are talking about salt tonight, so we're going to kind of touch on food, so, yeah. But Mark chapter 9, verse 38. Let's look at 38. I'm going to read out of the Passion, if that's okay. And I told you about, I was in Pennsylvania there, and there's some pretty conservative folks there, and went to a book show one time with Faith Library Publications, and this lady, I mean, I know there are King James-only folks out there, and I just didn't have the heart to tell him that Jesus didn't speak in King James, all right? I just didn't have the heart to tell her. But anyway, she was a King James only person. It was like, you know, she thought she was going to catch me off guard. She's like, I'm going to see one of your Bibles. So I hand her a Bible, Rhema Bible, you know. Well, I'm only King James only. And I hand her to her. I said, well, you probably like this. And it was King James. Oh, I kind of took the wind out of her sails at that time. Point. But anyway, but it's all good. So Mark chapter 9, verse 38, and it says, John spoke up and said, Teacher, we noticed someone was using your name to cast out demons, so we tried to stop him because he wasn't one of our group. Interesting here, isn't it? And interesting how Jesus' response is. He says, well, don't stop him. Jesus replied, for the one who does miracles in the power of my name proves he is not my enemy. Verse 40, it says, and whoever is not against us is for us. Listen to the truth that I speak. Whoever gives you a cup of water because you carry the name of Christ will never lose his reward. But if anyone abuses one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for him to have a heavy boulder tied around his neck and be thrown into the sea than to face the punishment he deserves. Verse 43, if your hand entices you to sin, let it go limp and useless, for it is better for you to enter into life maimed than your entire body thrown into hell, a place of unquenchable fire. This is where the maggots never die and fire never goes out. And if your foot leads you into sin, well, then cut it off. For it is better to enter life crawling than to have both feet and be flung into hell. This is where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. Remember, he keeps saying that over again, right? And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, for it is better to enter into life with only one eye than to be thrown into hell with two. This is where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. So Jesus is trying to get something across to us here. Verse 49, everyone will pass through the fire and even every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is excellent for seasoning, but if salt becomes tasteless, how can its flavor ever be restored? Your life's like salt. Our lives are like salt. They're seasoned and preserved. Here we go. And don't lose your flavor, and preserve the peace in your union with one another. You know, I want to back up here too and make a couple comments. You know, in some translations in the King James and other, it talks about servant, right? Being the servant of all. I don't remember Jesus holding any leadership conferences, do you? Can you imagine if we decided we went ahead and advertised some servanthood conferences and stuff? How many people think it'd show up? What does Jesus talk about? Being servant of all, right? Serving people. What was Jesus? Jesus was just a leader because he was a servant of all, right? People were attracted to him because he was always serving and giving and healing people and helping people and loving on people. He was always a servant, so people were drawn to him. I always get a little nervous around people who are always trying to build something up, make themselves look great and everything. You know, it's like, I don't know. But Jesus was focused on servanthood, wasn't he? And I think it's interesting because the people were using Jesus' name to cast out demons before we had any of Paul's teaching, right? I think it's interesting that the people picked up on the name of Jesus. There was something powerful there at the time where they were using the name of Jesus to cast out demons. But also, now I believe Jesus is not sitting here because, you know, the Bible talks about our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? And, you know, Jesus is talking about, you know, chopping your arm off, plucking your eye out, doing this, chopping your feet off and stuff. So you're thinking, well, that kind of coincides. Jesus is really talking about get the things out of your life that are hindering you, right? Get the things out of your life that are hindering you. But he also wants us to be salt. And I think one of the things is the salt of the earth, being the salt or having any flavor, there's something that stands out about us. And I think one thing with the church is we have, many have compromised or at least apologized for who we are. Jesus never asks us to apologize for anything, does he? No, Jesus never went around the Pharisees, and we'll read some scriptures there. He never asks the Pharisees to, never apologizes, never asks for their opinion, doesn't really even care, right? And that's what drove them nuts. They wanted to kill him because they were like, you have to go down path A. And he says, no, I'm going to go down path J. Thank you. I'm going a different road here. And they didn't like that at all. So let's talk about salt here, take a quick tour here, because we are talking about being salt of the earth. Like Jesus said, salt brings flavor, doesn't it? It brings something up. It also preserves, right? And you'll see how that was a preservative, especially for meat back in the day. They would really salt it down really good and help preserve meat back then. So salt is a preservative that has been used. Also, too, when I was reading about salt, it is very essential for life. We have to have some amount of salt in our diet, right? If we don't have at least something, there's some kind of element of salt, it's not good for us. Obviously, too much salt is going to cause a lot of problems, right? I mean, that's hypertension, other things that are going to, you know, cause it. But we know that it is very essential for us. It definitely comes from the sea. You know, a lot of salt comes from the ocean and the seas, which are really interesting because what's the analogy of the Holy Ghost? The water. Ephesians, Apostle Paul talks about the washing of water by the cleansing of the word. He associates water often with the Holy Spirit and with cleansing. Where does the salt come from? Often water, doesn't it? Ever been, I mean, obviously you can't drink salt water, you know. Been to the ocean and you get that stuff in your mouth. It's like, you can't drink it. But what a lot of people have done, they boiled it down so they take that salt because it is valuable. And you know, in fact, there have been wars, if you do study, wars over salt because it is so vital. Also, too, they've raised taxes over salt in different countries over that. So we are the salt of the earth. Now, interesting here enough that only about, now listen, this is kind of interesting. Only about 6% of salt manufactured in the world is used in food. So we think of salt of just, you know, something that we eat, but there's actually a vast products that are used for salt, right? One of those is 12% is used in water conditioning processes. Did you know that? You get the salt stuff and it conditions your water. Also, about 6% of salt is used for highways to keep us safe. Also, I'm sorry, 8%, about 6% used in agriculture. It's also used in PVC piping. It's also used in paper pulp. Some of it is also, a portion of it is for aluminum. Also, it's in our soaps. I didn't realize that. Excuse me. Also, in synthetic rubber, and also in pottery. So, it's interesting to see how much salt is involved in our life. Not only just we need it, but it gives the flavor. Also, it preserves. So, it is a preservative. Now, of course, we know everything that's going on, that this world is rotting to the bone, right? Anything outside of being salt of the earth is dying and decaying as we speak. This world system, its ideas, everything, they satanic, it is dying. So the salt of the earth, which is the life of Christ, is the preserving factor, isn't it? So, excuse me. So we see that John chapter 14, verse 6. Let's turn there. I'm going to read out of the King James. And you'll see how Jesus kind of starts connecting things together when you start examining the word. John chapter 14, verse 6. We're all probably familiar with this if you don't recognize the call letters there for John chapter 14, verse 6, you'll recognize the scripture. And he says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto me, unto the Father, but by me. So what is the life? We see that it's the salt of the earth, right? Jesus is the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. We are that because he is the life. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, 1. By the way, excuse me, if you have a chronological Bible, this is the very first scripture in the chronological Bible. So if you have some of those, just for your information. Because it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was not the earth. I'm sorry, Genesis 1:1 is not the beginning. This is the beginning, which is God and the Word. So when you do have a chronological Bible, this is where we start. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that anything made that was made. So what it means is this: we didn't come from a cell, we didn't come from, you know, evolution wants to say that we all came from some organic soup, and then out popped a living organism, and then that organism began to develop and then dropped his tail, and then we developed. I mean, it's so impossible, it's so ridiculous, right? It's insulting to our intelligence to say that everything started with a cell, and then boom, we got computers, right? All of a sudden, everything just came to life, and it was amazing. It was crazy. Now, it says here, God created everything. He made it all. And there we go, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Or we could say the salt, right? We're the salt of the earth. What is the salt? It's not all of us. It is what's in us. It's that preserving factor, which is the life of God. It's that Zoe kind of life. That the Greek word, which is Zoe, kind of life. That is the life that lives in us. That's that salt. That's the thing the devil hates the most, right? The world wants to stamp it out. It wants to cancel it out. It wants to stomp it out of you. It wants to discourage you, right, from everything. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Matthew 13:24. While you're turning there, verse 5 says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and what? The darkness comprehended it not." See, the darkness doesn't have the ability to grasp, to comprehend, to consume, or anything that comes from God. It doesn't have that ability because the nature isn't. Because we were hostile towards God before we got born again. You know, you're like, well, I don't remember being hostile towards God or anything else. No, you disobeyed God, you ran from Him until you committed your life, until you got born again. When you got born again, you had the salt in you. And that's the thing with the world is trying to, which is the presence of God, that salt, that preserving factor. Now, this is the parable of the weeds and the tares, okay? I'm reading it out of the Passion, but the Passion calls it the weeds. King James calls it the tares. So you're probably more familiar with it often with the tares. So it says the wheat and the tares, so basically weeds. Verse 24, and it says, "Then Jesus taught them another parable. Heaven's kingdom can be compared to a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and ran away." Well, who do you think that is? The devil, right? The enemy. So, when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, the weeds also appeared. No, the weeds, excuse me, also appeared. So the farmer's hired hands that came in to him and said, "Sir, wasn't that good seed that you sowed in the field? Where did all of these weeds come from?" Verse 28, he answered, "This has to be the work of an enemy." They replied, "Do you want us to go and gather up all the weeds?" "No," he said. "If you pull out the weeds, you might uproot the wheat at the same time. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I'll tell my harvesters to gather the wheat first and tie them into bundles to be burned. Then they will harvest the wheat and put them into my barn." Now, I wanted to think about something here really quick. Are all the wheat and weeds together? Yes, they are, right? They are growing together. Jesus talks about this at other places, right? So the wheat and the weeds are growing simultaneously. Or we could also say the salt, those who have salt and those who don't have salt are growing together. So they grew up next to each other. Now I want to have this for your consideration. Did the wheat grow unaffected? Yes, they grew unaffected by the weeds. So again, now, but he talks about if the weeds are pulled up, they may affect the wheat. But the point is, the weeds are growing, or the wheat is growing strong, no matter what the weeds do. Right? Now, even though they're you know, competing for nutrients, they're competing for land, they're competing for these things, in the end, we have wheat and we have weeds. So we're growing, we are developing and they are growing simultaneously. Is that what's happening here? Now, there was a guy, John Alexander Dowie. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before. He was around the 1800s and then the early 19th century. And he had it, and there in Zion, Illinois, he wanted to have just a town just for people who are Christians, thought like him, right? I mean, that sounds like a great idea. I mean, that sounds like, oh, we're all going to be together, right? Is that really God's plan? Probably not. Why? Because we don't want to be isolated from the world, but we want to be insulated from the world. And so he went on, and he ended up wanting to buy some land in Mexico and have another city and doing all this other stuff. And we need to be the salt of the earth, right? Why? Because so people will And the Bible talks about we need to make the Jews jealous, that we are so blessed that the Jews are even jealous of us. Well, let's look at a few things here on Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 is really good about pointing out the salt of the earth, those who are not the salt of the earth, right? This is going to bring things a little bit more, I feel like it's going to bring things a little bit more in tune and kind of bring about what we're looking at. So we have, Jesus said, you need to be the salt of the earth. What does the salt of the earth produce? What is it that we're producing at that point? Because there's got to be something different between, why did you say the salt of the earth and those who do not have the salt? There's got to be something blatant between the wheat and the weeds. You can definitely tell what wheat looks like, and you definitely tell what weeds look like. Weeds produce no fruit, right? They're just there. They, you know, often block out the fruit-producing crop. But we're going to look here, and this is the Apostle Paul is writing the people at the Galatians here in chapter 5, verse 14. He says, sorry, verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Does the world love their neighbor as herself? No, they don't, do they? Mm-mm. Now, there are people that they have genuine, I feel like there are people, you know, worldly people that will probably generally, you know, want to be concerned about other people. But their nature does not allow them to do that, right? Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you do not consume one another. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here we go. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the thing that you would. But if you will be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we're seeing a constant fighting between the flesh and the Spirit, and it manifests. And now every person deals with it, right? I mean, Jesus dealt with it there in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He's like, well, Father, if there's another way we can get around with this, we do it. And obviously, no, about going to the cross. So we're always dealing with the flesh and the Spirit. Now, here we see the people who are not the salt of the earth. This is what they produce. It's very blatant, all right? Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. So what's witchcraft? Witchcraft are those people that are trying to control other people, right? That's all it is. There's lots of ways to operate in witchcraft. You're not just casting spells and doing things, right? What's the Bible say about rebellion? It is the byproduct of witchcraft, isn't it? Because you're trying to control people. That is the work of the flesh. Hatred, variance of emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So like I said earlier, salt is a preservative for us, isn't it? In our life, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is a preservative for us, isn't it? The life, the Zoe kind of life in us preserves us. Our heart condemns us. So being born again, that in itself is a preserving factor, right? Because it's the seed. The Bible talks about it's the seed of God that has been planted into our hearts. From there, we do not want those things. But we see through these actions, I've never known anybody that has done any of these things that have walked away and go, man, that was great. Right? So glad I committed adultery. That's so great, right? Just so wonderful. I'm so glad I murdered. That's just so great. No. This whole list is a list that is going to destroy us, isn't it? So, again, why do I need to apologize for being the salt of the earth? I don't need to. because I'm helping preserve not only myself and those around me, but also other people, right? I was listening to somebody I knew that worked for the state. They didn't tell me any names or anything, but some people that I, my old hometown, one time we were talking, and just about, you know, some of the things that they were going through, some of these people were going through, financially, just having all these problems, and they were needing all this help. And, you know, the sad thing about this, for example, this list that we have, that, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about, and not being a salt of the earth, it will take its toll on you. These things will take its toll on you. And not only that, but think about, you know, and I've known people, and I've, you know, dealt with some addiction myself in the past years ago, but people that have drunkenness or things like that, what kind of a drain that it is causing on your family, on your career, all of these things. See, it's these actions are very, how can I say, they will destroy you in the process, right? Not only did it destroy you, but now you're often, because of this, let's say, for example, like with the people who deal with drug addiction or, you know, things like that, now there's resources out there that you have to draw upon to help you. So you're pulling resources from other people. So it's very decaying. It's very very just sucks the life out of you. It sucks. It costs finances like anything else. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you wanted to, and you have to pay more than you ever wanted to. Right? It is a slippery slope. But the world system will always try to get you that there's something wrong with you, because you don't want to engage in these things, but you're actually preserving yourself, right? But here we go. Here we go. Here's assault, people. I'm assault, people. Are you assault, people? Verse 22, but here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. I want to be in that list, right? Don't you? I don't think anybody in their right mind doesn't want to be in that list. When you really get down to it, you have peace all the time. I mean, I used to be around, you know, people that had drug addictions and everything too, and it's paranoia. I mean, they're paranoid half the time, right? They have no peace because they think you're going to take their money. You're going to take their dope. You're going to do whatever. So they're always paranoid. They can't hold a job. They can't do anything. Everything is completely unstable in their life, right? Relationships are destroyed. Finances are destroyed. They're paranoid about everything. But the people who have salt have peace, love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. So there's no restrictions, right? Oh, you're having too much joy. I'm sorry, you can't do that. Oh, you're loving too much. You can't do that. No. I mean, you ever told somebody before, oh, you're just too nice. You're loving me too much. No. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. That's also a work of the flesh, right? Envying somebody always, oh, they got more than I do. They don't, you know, oh, they got this, they got that. Everything's wonderful for them, right? The Bible says it's not wise to compare, is it? No. No. You have no idea what their home life is. You have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. And just be thankful, hey, I'm salt of the earth. Amen. I got the Zoe kind of life living in me. So again, much of the church has caved to the world. The world tries to make you feel bad for living righteous, right? I don't apologize for wanting to live righteous, right? You know, you ever get those like in those situations where you're around family members who, you know, I like family members that are crazy, you know, and then it's like all the family members get around you. Okay, let's don't say anything, you know, like okay, we're gonna trigger something or whatever. Okay, I'm just gonna be me, right? You know, don't say anything to this person about this, or don't say anything to this person about this. No, I'm the salt of the earth. I'm going to live righteous. If my righteousness offends you, well, I'm sorry about that, right? I'm not here to condemn people. I'm not here to judge people or anything else, too. But I don't want to apologize because I want to live righteous. It says, you know, the world tries to make you feel like you're unloving, you're selfish, you're closed-minded, right? Science denier, uneducated, you're not relevant. I mean, you know, many people right now, academia, the other ones try to say, well, you know, the gospel is just, you know, outdated and it's just archaic and blah, blah, blah. You know what? People are murdering today. They murdered back then. Hello? The flesh is a flesh. It doesn't matter whether you're 3000 BC or you're up to, you know, 2021. People are people. It's the same stuff. The Bible says it's already been done. It's the same thing underneath the sun. The perversion they did back then, they're copying it right now. I mean, it's like Moloch, the garbage that Moses dealt with now, we see international world leaders are worshiping Moloch again. And it's like, it's 5,000 year old. I mean, give me a break. They're digging up the same junk and doing it now. I'm the salt of the earth. I mean, you know, people say, well, it's just irrelevant. They're digging up the same gods they did thousands of years ago that Moses dealt with. They're doing the same thing today. And the gospel is relevant to today. Amen? There was sin thousands of years ago. There's sin today. And there's going to be sin tomorrow. Right? It's all the same. So people will say, well, it's just irrelevant. No, adultery was back then. Adultery is now. The things in the Bible are still relevant to today. Hello? I mean, it's like people are people. Nothing has changed, you know, other than we just have high-tech gadgets now. They didn't have iPhones back then. We have iPhones now, right? We just have more stuff to get in trouble faster with. I mean, that's it, right? You know? I mean, rather than, you know, traveling somewhere to look at bad stuff, we can just pull it up in 5 seconds, right? It just speeds the sin up. That's it. I mean, nothing's changed, hello? We just got more bells and whistles. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. And just remember, we don't live life for other people's opinion. We live life to please God. Amen. That's it. I'm not interested in political stuff. I don't care about, you know, this person. You got to be politically correct here. You got to be politically correct here. And that's probably why we're not 90,000 people and everything else too, because I'm never going to be politically correct, right? It's never going to happen. I'm never going to, you know, I'm not here to hurt people's feelings or do anything like that. But if Jesus said it, I'm going to say it. You know, if it's good enough for Jesus, then you better believe it's good enough for me, right? And so, Hebrews 11:6. And I think, too, we just need to be unapologetic for where we stand. The church has been too apologetic in the past. That's why we've got everything that we see here now. We've got abortion, we've got all this perversion, we got all this junk. We got our school systems are a mess. And I mean, thank God we're getting mama bears in there now and all kinds of people that are going to these school meetings that are raising Cain and going bananas. And now it's throwing the DOJ, the FBI. They're like, oh my gosh, all these people are. No, they're doing what we should have been doing 50 years ago, right? I mean, hello? We need to be rattling these cages now. Thank God we're getting people that are not going to apologize for taking back our schools. There's people, we're not going to apologize for taking back our government. We're not going to apologize for doing the right thing. Amen? And the news and all that other garbage and all the other government, they don't want any of us to stand up. They don't want us to be salt. They don't want us to take a stand on anything because they want you to just do the same garbage they've been telling us to do for decades. And we're the salt of the earth. Amen? So whether they like it or not, here we come. And we're seeing all the time in the news. It's just wonderful. I just love it. It's just fantastic, you know. See those mama bears up there and just railing on them. And the thing about the left is they don't like anybody exposing all the hypocrisy and the hate and the garbage that they've been spewing out all of these years, and then now we've got swarms of people coming in and saying, you know what, this is ridiculous. I mean, I'm not a racist because I'm white. I'm not, we shouldn't have to put up with this perversion. You know, we shouldn't have to put up with this garbage anymore. Amen? And enough's enough. We're going to continue to pray for these things. We're going to continue like we pray on Wednesday nights. Continue to pray for this stuff. Continue to pray that abortion is going to be abolished here soon. All of these things. Why? Because those are little lives that are at stake. Those are little people. Amen? And it doesn't matter what political side that you claim to be. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. So that's it. We value precious little babies here, and we're going to continue to pray that that junk is falling down. But Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. What is faith? Well, it says here, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that what? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So first of all, we got to believe God's real. And second of all, we need to run after him. We need to seek him, right? That is the salt of the earth. That's where my faith is at. It's definitely not in the government. It's definitely not in people, right? Because, and I mean, if your faith is in me, it's you're messed up. I'm telling you right now. It's got to be in God, right? I mean, I'm going to do the best I can. I don't want to let people down, obviously. But I'm not God. I'm not, like last week, we had a healing here. I didn't heal. Nobody. I don't have any healing power. But it's Jesus that gets the glory for everything. Amen? He is the one that is going to reward us. So when we look back, we're going to have faith in him. We got to believe that he is real, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those people, those of us who are salty. Oh, I like that term, salty. Those of us who are salty are those who diligently seek him. Amen? And we're going to say no to immorality. We're going to say ultimately no to the devil, right? We don't hate people, but we hate the works of the devil. Amen? We hate sin. We hate the byproducts of sin. Why? Because it hurts people. That's it. Right? It hurts people. And God loves people. So in the days to come, we're going to be very unapologetic for the gospel, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for these things. You know, Adrian and I were just talking earlier about some of the craziness. You know, there's some churches around here that are really growing fast, and it's like they're talking about all the stuff they believe in, and you're like, what? I mean, that it's just like crazy stuff. You know, teaching about things like predestination, you know, well, God knows where everybody's going to go to heaven or hell, so, you know, everything's predestinated. And I was like, why are we here? Well, why don't we just shut the church down and go, well, you folks are already going to go to hell, and you folks are going to go to heaven, and we'll just shut it all down because God already knows anyway, so what are we even doing here, right? Is that the most contradictory thing in the world, right? Well, then why try? Just say, well, if God's already predestined, you go to hell. So, you know, you're a prostitute or you're a drug dealer or whatever. You're just going to go to hell anyway. And I'm going to go to heaven because it's all predestined and God will sort everything out in the end. Well, that kind of defeats the purpose why we're here, right? Jesus said, go spread the gospel, the good news. Preach to every creature, the lost, and build up those who are walking according to the faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I made it. Praise God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. See, you just do things in faith sometimes. You're like, Lord, you're going to give me, help me here with my voice and everything. And we are, hallelujah. Praise God. Let me pray over. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray for boldness on the people. I pray boldness for me. You said there in Ephesians that pray for boldness. The Apostle Paul prayed, told the Ephesians to pray over him that there would be boldness. Lord, I pray over all of us that there is boldness in the name of Jesus. Boldness to live righteous. Boldness to be the salt of the earth. Boldness to be a preservative. Boldness to go after the devil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are not afraid of the devil. We are not afraid of the devil's company. We are not afraid of demonic forces. But in fact, we engage them. We attack with the word, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in the name of Jesus. We are not afraid of Satan. We are not afraid of demonic forces. In fact, we laugh at the enemy because greater is he that's in me, which is Jesus, than he that's in the world. The salt is the preservative, Lord God, and that salt that's in us is going to be spread in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare it. We declare also, Lord, that there is a revival, that there is an awakening in this nation, in this world, with your Spirit, Lord God. And we thank you that you're using us and other churches in the name of Jesus to reach the world. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll have a great week, everybody.